Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 68 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Cody Robinson.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
The more adverse childhood experiences a child has, the higher the likelihood of those negative health outcomes.
Moorhead State University's water treatment plant was recognized for its water quality.
Community members gather to support state Special Olympic athletes.
Kentucky's governor says pension relief will be up to the GOP legislator.
Boyd County is opening up a new hiking trail tomorrow.
A program aimed at helping school staff members deal with student trauma is coming this summer.
In sports, the Vikings are prepping for the first round of the state tournament tomorrow in Moorhead.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Tonight, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 58 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University's water treatment plant was one of the 37 Kentucky facilities to meet goals for the area-wide optimization program. The program is implemented and facilitated by federal APA that Kentucky participates in. Jackie Logsden with the Kentucky Department of Environmental Protection says the goals set by the AWOP involve reducing the levels of turbidity at a water treatment plant.
Turbidity can be things like dirt or debris, decaying leaves and those sorts of things. It can also be viruses and bacteria and things that can make people sick. And so the lower that value is, the safer the water is. And so we set goals based on reducing that risk factor.
MSU was the only academic institution to make the list. That's because it is one of the only universities with its own water treatment plants. Logsden says this is still significant since MSU's plant is smaller and doesn't have access to as many resources compared to larger facilities. The recognition means the water treatment plant at Moorhead exceeds requirements for the Safe Water Drinking Act.
The Moorhead community showed up this afternoon to support local athletes headed to the state Special Olympics this weekend. Round County is sending 24 athletes to the games, which will be held at Eastern Kentucky University. The organization is expecting more than 1,400 athletes to compete. Moorhead Police Captain Kyle Callahan helped gather first responders to escort the team out of town.
Just want to show our support for them. I think they're going to Richmond this year. So Chief Blevins coordinated with a lot of different agencies to be here at this lot, you know, across from Dairy Queen, and show a lot of support for these athletes.
Main Street business owners and patrons gathered outside to cheer on the group's bus as it passed through downtown Moorhead.
The Rowan County Distinguished Young Woman Scholarship event will be held Monday on the campus of Moorhead State University. The regional program will feature 25 young ladies who will be high school juniors this fall. Organizer Lucy Moore says the event is a great experience for the participants.
A couple years ago, a little girl came to me and I said, you need to be in this. This is a really good experience. And she said, oh, you don't understand. When we have something to talk about in class, if I have to give a report or something like that, she said, I am physically sick. And so I let her tell me all about that. And then at the end I said, and that's exactly why you need to do this program.
The Rowan County Distinguished Young Woman Program will be held Monday at 6 p.m. in Button Auditorium, here on the campus of Moorhead State University. Admission is $10 at the door.
A pilot program launching in one rural Kentucky school district this summer will help public school staff members deal with student trauma. Russell County Schools aims to help schools better support children dealing with adverse childhood experiences such as addiction and violence. Dr. Doe Barchione is a psychologist who leads the Bounce program. He says there is mounting evidence that childhood trauma contributes to health problems later on in life.
The more adverse childhood experiences a child has, the higher the likelihood of those negative health outcomes, depression, anxiety, suicide attempts. But it also, there's a link to the physical health. There's an increase in heart disease. There's an increase in cancer rate as adults. There's an increase of diabetes.
Barchione says adult life expectancy is 20 years lower for people who have had six or more adverse childhood experiences. The two-year program, which begins in August, is funded by a grant from the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court will host a grand opening for the Armco Park Iron Ore Hiking Trail on Saturday at 10 a.m. at Shelter 6. The five-mile trail project has been an ongoing effort for years, according to the Daily Independent. In 2017, the county was awarded a $20,000 grant from the state to help complete the trail, which features benches, walking bridges, and overlooks. Community members have also been asked by Boyd County Tourism and Economic Development to participate in the Rock Solid Kindness Project by painting small rocks that will be placed along the trail. The idea of the project is to have the rocks located in designated areas for hikers to take home. Messer said those with painted rocks can bring them to the grand opening on Saturday. For more information on the Iron Ore Hiking Trail, go to the Boyd County Tourism and Economic Development Facebook page.
A Kentucky law regulating contact between legislators and lobbyists is constitutional, a federal appeals court ruled Thursday. A three-judge panel of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed key parts of a lower court ruling that had dismantled most of the law on grounds it was too vague to be enforced and violated lobbyist freedom of speech. The appeals court disagreed, ruling the state's ban on gifts and campaign donations from lobbyists to lawmakers is constitutional. The law stemmed from a nearly three-decade-old corruption investigation known as Operation Boptrot that resulted in bribery charges against 22 lawmakers and lobbyists. Among those challenging the law was Republican State Senator John Schickel, who said it's ridiculous that lawmakers could be prosecuted for accepting a bottle of water from a lobbyist. Schickel's attorney said he would likely ask the U.S. Supreme Court to review it.
A Kentucky judge has denied a request by the state's chief election officer to temporarily block a law aimed at removing her power over the State Board of Elections. The ruling stems from a lawsuit filed by Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes. She claims the law infringes on her executive authority. In denying her request for a temporary injunction, Franklin Circuit Judge Philip Shepard said Grimes failed to show the likelihood of irreparable harm. But Shepard says Grimes has authority to take all necessary and appropriate measures to carry out her duties, including resolving deadlocks among Board of Elections members. The law removes the Secretary of State as chairman and a voting member of the board. Grimes says she looks forward to a full review of her claims before November's election.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin said Thursday it's up to the GOP-led legislature to muster the votes needed to pass his pension relief plan in a special legislative session he wants to convene. Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer says legislators had made it clear it was up to Bevin to find the votes for his bill. State leaders worry inaction could strain the state's quasi-governmental agencies and lead to bankruptcies, elimination of staff, and loss of critical services for Kentuckians. Bevin's proposal allows the agencies to stay with the Kentucky retirement systems at full cost, leave the retirement system by paying a lump sum equal to future projected benefit payments, or buy their way out in installment plans over 30 years. It extends a freeze on pension costs for another year for the regional universities and quasi-public agencies.
Kentucky's Lieutenant Governor Jeanine Hampton is calling prayer warriors on Twitter after she said her deputy chief of staff was removed from her duties. Hampton tweeted this morning that, quote, "Persons unknown initiated unauthorized personnel action ending employment of my talented, stellar Deputy Chief Adrian Southworth against my wishes." Southworth has worked as Hampton's Deputy Chief of Staff since 2015 when she was appointed following Governor Matt Bevin's election victory. Bevin decided to choose Senator Ralph Alvarado as his running mate for his reelection campaign. WKYT reached out to Hampton's office to receive more word on why Southworth was removed from her position. Hampton's tweet concluded by saying, "Pray for me as I battle dark forces."
Ohio lawmakers are having debates on how to prioritize funding. The Senate Finance Committee in Ohio held its fourth public spending hearing last week. Some policy groups are saying more funding should be put towards Ohioans in crisis, like those with mental health issues or suffering from addiction. Wendy Patton with Policy Matters Ohio says health programs should be where funding is prioritized.
Like making sure that people have safe, modest, but decent housing, that they have enough wholesome, nutritious food to eat, that they have mental health care so that anxiety or depression doesn't go into a drug addiction, and especially so they are protected from domestic violence.
Patton said the state should be doing more towards the prevention of domestic violence and care of victims.
According to new research, West Virginia's expansion of Medicaid is bringing health improvements for pregnant women and their babies. One serious and surprising issue for U.S. healthcare has been an unexpected rise in the number of women dying in childbirth. But Joan Aichler with Georgetown University Center for Children and Families says states that are getting women into the Medicaid system are actually reducing maternal mortality rates.
We are really the only very developed country that's seeing that, and that's very troubling. For states that have not expanded Medicaid, Medicaid expansion is clearly the single most important step a state could take to address this crisis.
According to West Virginians for Affordable Health Care, expansion also has proven to be good for getting pregnant addicts into the substance abuse treatment they need. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A Prestonsburg family is grieving the loss of a family member who was killed during the bout of severe weather earlier this week. 61-year-old Michael Coleman was driving to a restaurant with his fiancée Wednesday when high winds caused the roof of a nearby building to land directly on the vehicle. Coleman was killed, but his fiancée was uninjured. Coleman's sister, Susie Bowling, tells WYMT her brother was a very generous and hardworking man.
He gardened every year and raised the biggest gardens. And every year he said he wasn't going to do it again that much, but he gave it all away. I mean, he canned some and put some in the freezer, but it gave him so much joy to give to others.
Coleman's family says he was a proud Mason and will be given a Masonic rite ceremony this weekend. He will be buried Sunday at a family cemetery.
A Prestonsburg man facing child sexual exploitation charges is a pastor and business owner. Police say 26-year-old Bobby Blackburn is the pastor of Elevate Church in Prestonsburg. He also owns the Giovanni's. WYMT reports Blackburn is charged with using an electronic device to procure a minor. Blackburn turned himself in to authorities on Wednesday, but has bonded out of detention for $5,000. He is scheduled to appear in court on June 19th.
Two people have been shot in a neighborhood off Walden Drive in the Tates Creek area of Lexington. Police responded a little after 10 p.m. Thursday night for a reported shooting on Waxwing Way. Officers told LEX18 they were informed by witnesses a man had been shot and taken to the hospital in a private car. A second victim was found nearby and taken to the hospital with what authorities described as serious injuries. No details regarding the suspect have been released. And now look at this week's weather. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 58. Saturday, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 80. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 62. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers with thunderstorms, also possible after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 77. And now for current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. Flemingsburg is 64 degrees, Maysville is 65 degrees, Ashland is 65 degrees, Grayson is 65 degrees, Inez 63 degrees, Lexington 76 degrees, and right here on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 65 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaf responds to correspondence wherein the subjects of women and mentorship, professoring and mushrooms, and thank yous to kind people are put forth.
The mailbag has been overflowing as people try to get things worked out before they go on vacation. Let's get busy. Dear John, can I call you John?
Sure.
I just read a piece on the Me Too movement, a movement that I have been a strong supporter of since day one. A recent poll conducted by LeanIn.org and SurveyMonkey found that men in the workplace are feeling too nervous to mentor and otherwise interact in a professionally productive way with women for fear of being accused of something they did not do. What the heck is going on? And how are women supposed to even get close to the glass ceiling to take a whack at it when men are hesitant to show them some of the ropes? Signed, Sister Alberta Sargent, OSB, Chicago, a web listener. Dear sister, that is a shock. We could approach these results two ways. First, given that it was a survey, we could dismiss it as nonsense, since according to other even more reliable surveys, people lie on surveys a lot. Or we could provisionally accept the findings and give them some noggin time. Let's try that. Could very well be that the Me Too movement is having some unintended environmental consequences, kind of like kudzu. Men are probably afraid because either A, they've been misbehaving, or B, they haven't the slightest idea anymore what is entailed under definitions of harassment. So, like practical men tend to do, they simply avoid the situation. Sad, but entirely predictable. Dear Professor Know-It-All, is there any truth to the rumor that you used to shovel horse manure on a mushroom farm? If so, I see that your profession hasn't really changed that much since you started teaching. Signed, your sworn enemy, Lou. Okay, Lou, I get it. Teaching is like growing mushrooms, right? No, wait, maybe it's the manure. Let me think it over and write an article about it. Our time grows short, but the pile remains tall. Let's get to some quick answers. To Margie, Liz, and the boys, thank you for coming to Dad's funeral. To Sam and Laureen in Polksville, I drove out to see your lawn, and it is the best collection of cement figures I've ever seen in one place, except for the front lawn of that boat shop up in Merrillville. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:46 and 65 degrees here on the campus of MSU. We are coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Cody Robinson, here with Keneally Roberts, and we're so glad you're tuning in on this rainy Friday afternoon. Leanne Akers has your check of sports right after this. Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Morehead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
The Vikings and the Bulldogs face off in round 1 for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. Rowan County's baseball team will face Lawrence County tomorrow in the first round of the Whitaker Bank Kentucky High School Athletic Association State Baseball Tournament. The first semi-state round will be played at Morehead State University's Sonny Allen Field. Rowan is coming into the matchup with 30 straight wins and just 3 losses this season. Head coach Scott Collins says there are a lot of similarities between the two teams.
You know, we've got 4 really good pitchers, and they hit the ball really well. So, you know, they're a lot like us. But like you said, we've not seen them in person. You know, we can just kind of go by stats and things of that nature. We did play them last year. They came down here and beat us, I think, 5-0.
Game time tomorrow is set for noon. 14th region champs Hazard and 13th region winner Corbin will also play Saturday at MSU. That game is slated for 3 p.m. In other semi-state baseball action tomorrow at the University of Kentucky, Montgomery County and Beechwood face off at 4 p.m., then Somerset and Tate's Creek meet at 7. Eastern High School hosts Pleasure Ridge Park and Taylor County for a 4 p.m. matchup. Then North Oldham will face Trinity Louisville at 7 p.m. Western Kentucky University will see South Warren and Breckenridge County at 11 a.m., then Hopkinsville meets McCracken County at 4. The Elite Eight round of the KHSAA State Baseball Tournament will begin Wednesday at Whitaker Bank Ballpark in Lexington. The KHSAA Fast Pitch Softball State Tournament also begins tomorrow. Ashland Blazer and Johnson Central are slated to face off at Kentucky Christian University. The University of Louisville will host Oldham County and Louisville Male, and then the matchup between Butler and Central Hardin. Northern Kentucky University hosts Pendleton County and Dixie Heights. Boyle and Woodford counties face off at Berea, and Clay County will then face off with the winner of the 14th region. Western Kentucky University hosts Warren East and Davies County, and a matchup between Region 1 and 2. The winners of those championships should be decided tonight. The rest of the tournament will be held at the University of Kentucky's John Cropp Stadium. Elite Eight round play begins next Friday. The Reds play host to the Washington Nationals tonight. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Cincinnati will send right-hander Tyler Mahle to the mound tonight as he looks to close out the month with another win. After losing five straight to open the season, Mahle picked up his first win of the year on May 18th against the Dodgers. He comes into the night with a 4.15 ERA so far this season. The Nationals counter with left-hander Patrick Corbin, who boasts a 5-2 record and a 2.85 ERA. First baseman Joey Votto is also expected to be back on the field for the Reds tonight after missing three games with tightness in his hamstring. First pitch tonight from Great American Ballpark is set for 7:10 p.m. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
The Morehead State soccer team will host 10 matches and one exhibition at Jane Stadium in 2019 as the program embarks on its 21st season. The 10 home matches are the most for the Eagles since 2009. The Eagles began the 2019 campaign with a pair of exhibition matches hosting Marshall on August 15th and traveling to Northern Kentucky on August 17th before diving into a tough non-conference slate to begin the regular season. The season opening match pits Morehead State against the Butler Bulldogs on August 22nd at 7 p.m. on the turf at Jane Stadium. Butler finished its 2018 campaign second in the Big East, falling to NCAA semifinalist Georgetown 1-0 in its conference tournament championship. The Eagles will finish up their home slate with Eastern Kentucky on October 20th before heading to SIU Edwardsville to close out the year. The OVC tournament is slated to begin on November 1st at various campus sites. With football season just a few short months away, ESPN has announced the first 3 weeks of its 2019 college football slate. The University of Kentucky Wildcats open the season with three straight home games and look to use the momentum created last year from their win over Penn State in the VRBO Citrus Bowl. Kentucky's 2019 schedule begins with first-time opponent Toledo on Saturday, August 31st at noon on the SEC Network. The following week, Eastern Michigan returns to Lexington for a 7:30 start on ESPNU or the SEC Network alternate. The three-game homestand will conclude the conference opener versus the Florida Gators on September 14th at Kroger Field. That highly anticipated matchup is set to air at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN, the only conference game in the primetime window. Season tickets are currently available at ukfootballtix.com starting at $280 each. Single game tickets to UK's home games will go on sale later this summer. The Southeastern Conference has revised its alcohol policy to give member institutions the choice to allow alcohol sales at venues. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
The 14 universities will now be able to have the ability to establish sales locations, purchase limits, and designated times for sales. Sales will be limited to beer and wine, and institutions would have to implement a server training program for staff. The policy goes into effect August 1st. UK President Eli Capilouto has responded to the revisions positively, saying in a statement this afternoon that each institution will have to choose what's in the best interest of each university, their programs, and their fans. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host the Eagle Day Camp June 10th through 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in MSU's Johnson Arena, open to boys and girls in kindergarten through 8th grade. For more information, from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply as investors feared that President Donald Trump's surprise threat of tariffs on all Mexican imports amid a worsening trade war with China could risk sending the U.S. economy into a recession. And that Dow Industrials dropped 354.71, finishing at 24,815.17. The S&P 500 was down 36.79 at 2752.07, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 114.57 at 7453.15. Friday's declines added to an already torrid week and month for stocks. The Dow is down more than 2.7% this week and is headed for its sixth straight weekly loss, and that is the longest weekly losing streak for the Dow since 2011. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ were on pace for their fourth straight weekly losses, and the major indices were also set to snap a four-month winning streak. Shares of GM dropped 4.2% and Ford lost 2.7%. And of course, both have significant production in Mexico that could be subject to tariffs. Shares of Railroads Kansas City Southern and Union Pacific were down sharply, Kansas City Southern dropping 4.4% and Union Pacific dropping 2.1% respectively. Fiat Chrysler was down 5.4%. Corona and Modelo beer maker Constellation Brands slid 6.5%. The closely watched 10-year Treasury yield dropped to lows not seen since 2017, the U.S. benchmark yield finishing at 2.17%, and to put that into perspective, it was above 2.5% at the beginning of the month. Mexico's currency, the peso, tanked against the dollar by more than 2% to trade at 1962 per dollar. And, of course, last night, the president announced that the U.S. would impose a 5% tariff on all Mexican imports from June 10th onward until illegal immigration across the southern border was stopped. In the commodities markets, oil was pounded today, down 6%, finishing at $53.13 a barrel. Gold was up 1.5% in a safe haven trade, finishing at $1,311.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a bad day, with the Stock 600 index down 0.8%. And in Asia, stocks were weak, with the Nikkei down 1.625% and the Hang Seng down 0.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were McDonald's and Travelers. The worst performers were Verizon and Dow Incorporated. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Cooper Companies and Dish Network, while the worst performers were Gap and the food service company Sysco. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 74 cents at $39.59, Marathon Petroleum down $1.11 at $46, CSX down 54 cents at $74.47, Kroger up 3 cents at $22.81, Humana down $2.99 at $244.87, and Yum Brands was up 82 cents to finish at $102.37. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457. Taking a look at some community events in your region, the third annual Great American Truck Show and Cruise In will take place on Railroad Street in Mount Sterling on Saturday, July 13th. The event starts at 4 p.m. and admission is free.
The Richard Lynch Band will perform in concert as part of the Live on the Licking Summer Concert Series at Old Mill Park in West Liberty. Presented by West Liberty Tourism, music begins at 7 p.m. on Friday, June 7th. Admission is free.
The Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, June 3rd at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues.
The Rowan County Public Library will host a Survive and Thrive event at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, June 13th. Guest speaker is Craig Cottle, director of the Nature Reliance School in Winchester. Information about nature safety and surviving outdoors this summer. The event is free and open to the public.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from MSPR's Leanne Akers, Joe Lewis, Nacogdoches Miller, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Morehead State University Professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Cody Robinson. For WMKY News, stay tuned. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.